You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And it is the first week of the month, into the month of October, and that means it's time for another visit with Christine Daniels, the executive director of the Good News Project.
Happy October!
And always good to see you.
You too. Thank you.
And actually, this is really an interesting topic today, battery recycling, because to be honest with you, one of the things that I always find, because I have to use batteries in my work, I have recorders and stuff like that, proper, for lack of a, getting rid of old batteries. And there's different kind of batteries. And it's really one of the questions, like, what is the best way to doing about it? Because when you look at a battery, this isn't something that's probably not very good for the environment.
Right.
One of the most obvious things out there. Some exciting news with the Good News Project, because you're expanding again into another area and it involves battery recycling.
Yeah, we are. We definitely saw a need in our community to provide battery recycling. One of the reasons is the Marathon County Solid Waste Facility. We started having conversations with them, and they were telling us that on average, there's one landfill battery fire per week.
Which is, when you sent me that information, it's like, holy cow.
And the expense associated with putting out a fire.
Yes. I mean, I was like, wow, once a week. And something else you added there, sometimes these fires, if they get going, they can, luck trying to keep it limited, because if you're turning the wrong way, that fire can be pretty big, pretty fast.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. So they tell us that the fire department, if they get involved, it can have a cost of about $15,000 per fire. And if it spreads enough and gets into the methane return system, that can be an expense of over $250,000. So people don't think about that when they are throwing their batteries away.
And that's, you can't do that.
Right.
I mean, you look at it, and even if you toss a battery into a waste, you hear that sound because it's weighted. You know, it's like, you don't do that.
It's true. You know, there are a lot of details associated with battery recycling, however. So there are certain kinds that really need to be, because they are hazardous to your health and hazardous to the environment. There are others, like a standard alkaline battery, that does not need to be recycled. Those can be thrown away in your regular household garbage.
I still feel guilty doing that, to be honest with you, because I do. I mean, those
alkalines, I do too.
I mean, it's like, I'm thinking, there's got to be a better way than
this. Yeah. But you know, you want recycling to be energy efficient, right? And so you have to be able to recover the good stuff efficiently. And when it comes to alkaline batteries, it would take more resources being put into the process than what you would actually get out of it. So
that's one of the, real fast, one of the interesting things when you were sending me this information I looked at, and I think it goes to a lot of the different kind of activities that Good News Project is involved in and other folks that are trying to do what's best for the environment, that there's often a criticism, the cost analysis involved. You look at that. That was one of the interesting, you looked at that. Yes, in a perfect world, you would want to be able to properly, you know, recycle or put in the proper space the alkaline batteries. But the cost analysis was made. You do think about that, don't you?
For sure. Oh, yeah. A lot of research goes into it. And, you know, we go to the experts. We talk to the people that have been doing this or who are specifically in that industry to better understand, you know, what our part could be in the whole process. So when we decided to go ahead and offer rechargeable battery recycling, we wrote a grant to the Community Foundation, and we were awarded a Marathon County Impact Grant to move forward. And that allowed us to get the proper scales and supplies and a shipping container that's on the exterior of the building and has a fence around it, because you don't want something that is so potentially flammable inside of your building.
And real fast on this as well, and another note that you kind of again jumped out at me as I was looking at it, the as somebody that sometimes, you know, looks at the odds when it comes to some different things, one in 1 million. Holy cow, that's big. But you have some very interesting information about the human impact on this.
Oh, yeah. So what you're talking about, the 1 in 1 million. I'm trying to find that one spot specifically. The failure rate of lithium batteries, 1 in 1 million. But because there's so many, and you just think of how many lithium batteries are in our lives at this point.
Uh-huh.
So it actually is pretty significant. And it's not, it's not good for human health when those things erupt, and the amount of toxic gases that are released from them. I think there is a statistic here between 2014 and 2018, there were 1,500 home fires per year caused by batteries.
Batteries! Boom.
And you don't hear about that. That's
$86 million dollars in
really
damages.
Get reported in the news when those.
You don't see the headline tonight on our 6 o'clock report, battery leads to major fire.
Yeah, no. But you know, recently, I think I've heard maybe twice in the news in the last 3 months locally of where that was named as the source. Yes.
Jeez.
And I thought, interesting. Now, it's
your
really,
timing is good.
It's very good. Yeah. So we do charge to take in batteries. And last Friday was our very first rollout of the program. And for the first day, we thought it was decent that we received 38 pounds of batteries that needed to be recycled. And we do charge $2.29 a pound because there is this whole process that we have to go through once we take it into our warehouse. Mm. They have to be sorted by type.
Mm-hmm.
The terminals must be taped so that they're not touching one another. They have to be moved out into a different area.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's something that is structurally damaged, like you might see, one of those square lithium batteries that kind of looks a little bloated. I don't know if you've ever seen one, but once our eCycle program manager, Eric, had brought some into his office, which he has never done again since then, because he was taping them sitting at his desk and one was getting really hot and it was bloated. And he was like, oh my gosh. And he ran out into the warehouse. There's a cement floor, it's a metal building, and dealt with it okay. But that was definitely a learning experience.
Little James Bond action there, tick, tick, tick.
So it is more expensive to deal with the structurally damaged batteries. That's $4.99 a pound.
More with Christine Daniels on battery recycling at 722 here on WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Along with Ian Welsh, I am Chad Holmes, and we are continuing a conversation, as we do every month, with the Executive Director of the Good News Project here in Wausau, Executive Director Christine Daniels. I'm jumping around here, and I hope I'm not throwing you off here a little bit, but I did find interesting how these batteries are recycled.
I know, isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, that's good. Could you talk a little bit about that? Because I think people would be very interested in that aspect of
it. So once they end up at a recycling facility, so our end recycler, who's in Onalaska, Wisconsin, they ship to a facility in Nevada, and they actually go through the process of discharging the batteries of their energy, and they neutralize any remaining charge. And then once they're discharged, they go through a shredder to break the materials down. And then the main materials involved are plastics, copper, aluminum foils, electrolytes, and a mixture of leftovers that they call black mass. And it's this dark, sandy texture mixture, and it contains materials from cathodes and diodes. It gets kind of scientific, and but they call that the meat of the battery, and that's where the important materials that can be reclaimed are, in that black mass. So then it brings the process brings the materials down to a molecular level, so that they can be reused indefinitely, really. And there was something I came across this morning when I was just kind of going through all the information, and it was talking about, you know, lithium mining is, where did it say that?
The
environmental impact.
Right at the bottom of that sheet.
Okay, so it requires massive amounts of water.
How can I know this information even more than you do?
I know, because you read it ahead of time.
But no,
good job.
Hey, preparation. I got to have preparation.
Yes.
But no, the lithium mining.
Yeah, so there's very little ethically accessible mineable lithium left in the world. Mm. And most of what is left is in the ground and would require displacing human populations. Mm. So we really need to reuse the lithium that's already been mined and sourced already.
Oh, no, I mean, that's, again, just another aspect of where we are. I mean, we have to think about all of this. In our lives, yes, there's a lot we have to kind of consider. But we do have to consider this because, again, when it comes to the recycling aspect, and again, this is part of the big picture for the Good News Project. This is again part of it. But sometimes we are convenienced so well in our lives.
We really are.
And if we want to continue to be convenienced, and it's important to think about those next generations. And these are rather simple ways to do it, right?
Yeah, they really are. I just encourage people to, you know, try to learn more about it. It's been a huge learning process for our staff and our volunteers. Our volunteers had to go through extensive training, and they had to sign off on it that they went through the training because, you know, we want them to be able to speak knowledgeably and handle the batteries knowledgeably, too, so that it's as safe as possible.
Along the same lines, it may be a little bit of a big picture, because you decided that, hey, this was an area we wanted to expand into. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that you have to kind of keep an eye on a lot that's going on to say, hey, where's the best use of our time and our money and for the community as well?
Yeah.
What ultimately made you decide this was the next step that you wanted to make, that this was important?
You know, we had a board member who was very involved at the Marathon County Solid Waste Facility, and also, of course, involved with us. And he was the one who was hearing all of these things happening at the landfill.
The fires.
Right. Yeah. And he's like, I feel like there is a way Good News can step in and help prevent some of these fires.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's ultimately what it was, is, you know, like, this is a health and safety thing. This is an environmental thing. This is something that our community needs. They don't even know they need it yet, but they really do. It was really led by a really enthusiastic board member who saw that connection and that partnership of it, you know, possibility.
That's wonderful to hear, actually. I mean, because it is really important. And let's kind of lay the foundation again. So, because this is a brand new program. Mm-hmm. It's every Friday, is that
every
correct?
Friday now. Yes, except for after Thanksgiving. Don't come on Good Friday.
We Black won't be Friday.
Here. Black Friday, sorry.
Good yeah. Friday,
you can
Black
actually
Friday.
Come on Good Friday, but don't come on Black Friday.
So again, that's every Friday. Just started last week.
Yes.
And again, let's make, again, underline the distinction.
Okay.
The recyclables. As the rechargeables, my mind
is okay.
Like,
yeah.
The rechargeables compared to the alkalines. No on the alkalines,
yeah.
but all recyclables important.
Yeah, so recycle. You still bring your electronics recycling. We're open for that every day. Every Friday, we still charge 49 cents a pound for that. Now we are also including the acceptance of rechargeable batteries. The cost is $2.29 a pound every Friday from 9 to 4 at our facility at Wausau.
Fantastic. That's really, really cool indeed. Maybe less fires at the landfill.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, yeah. 38 pounds worth just ended up at our facility and not in the ground.
Hey, that's cool. The goal is that'll be the low end. We're going to grow that every Friday.
I think we will.
There you go. Well, Christine, always wonderful to have you come on by.
Thanks, Chad.
You'll be back next week talking again about the SEEC, right?
Sustainability Committee,
So we will see you next week.
Sounds great.
Fantastic. Again, Christine Daniels from the Good News Project. And again, anything else you want to know about the Good News Project before we wrap it up?
We have so many things to talk about, but we'll wait till November.
Okay, very good. We'll see you next week.
All right, thank you.
Christine Daniels, Executive Director of the Good News Project in Wausau. Again, today being Friday, get those batteries over there. So many good things that they do at the Good News Project. We're going to take a timeout, have the Farm Report, bottom of the hour information update, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. We have some sort of issue here.
Give me a second here. Let me see if I can...
Why are we... I got all my... I'm going to turn off my camera. I'm going to see if that does anything. Is that doing... No, it doesn't do anything. What's going on here?
Sure. Audio or... Let's see. Let me try something quick.
If necessary, turn the camera off because we don't need the camera on. And it is WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 7:53, currently another beautiful start here in north central Wisconsin. The temperature stands at 59 degrees. I hear him groaning. That's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign. Well, actually, I think it's just your phone. I think it's just your microphone.
Why is my microphone? Maybe I'll try the other microphone. Let's go to the microphone three. All right. Hey, this one will work.
Hey, there you go.
Well,
that one didn't like you this morning.
Things are falling apart here.
That one didn't like you this morning.
Paul Mickley across the way. Let's jump in because we are limited in time. We don't have all day like we used to. Hint, hint, people. Hey, Brewers know it's the Cubs. Get underway tomorrow. Cubs survive San Diego. And I have to say that going into game three, I thought maybe the Cubs would blow it. Just the feeling being they had the pressure. They were the home team, but they found a way. They won it. So they head to Milwaukee for game one tomorrow afternoon. They've obviously played three games this week. The Brewers have been off all week. It feels as though for Milwaukee, things should be set up. And these home games to begin the series are vital. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I on paper, the Padres probably were the better team. I don't think they were going to be the Brewers are the underdogs. It doesn't matter.
You're exactly right.
What I mean? It doesn't matter.
Many games they won this year.
It doesn't matter. It was going to go this way anyways.
You're right.
And because the Padres are a good team on paper, they're loaded.
They've got some pretty high priced talent.
For sure. And Chicago does too. But I thought that Padres were actually the better team. But I think that I still want to play Chicago. You don't want to sit up there and have Chicago fans buy all the tickets and come up there. And I don't think the three games matters because lately those teams have been winning a lot of times. I don't know what the percentage is. Mets did last year. There was somebody else the year before. I think the Phillies did. I think it was the Phillies the year before, or 2 years ago, whatever. But the percentage is probably like 50-50 winning that game.
Well, baseball playoffs now are so different than what baseball is. It's a 162 game marathon, and then it turns into these short series. It's where you lose your home field advantage with a snap of the finger. I mean, it really is who gets hot at the right time, and hopefully the Brewers get hot, because that's what it comes down to. I was saying yesterday that I wish it was back in the old days between 1903 and 1968. One team made it to the World Series, the best team in the league. The Brewers have been in the World Series already.
Yep.
Or even from 1969 to 1993. There have been four teams. They have been in the National League Championship Series already. So now it's just harder when you have all these teams in the playoffs.
And you got days off and
more variance.
I mean, so the Cubs can still throw their probably number one if that's what they choose.
There's so many days. Yeah, you're exactly right. These days off. Don't get me going on the days off.
which I'm going to... For Milwaukee. To be honest, though, Milwaukee actually helps. Milwaukee, it helps this year. And because they don't have all those guys healthy right now, so I think it actually works out for them. And they're going to use their whole bullpen. Can you sit here and not say that first game is not critical to this whole series? That they got to come out and get a W right away, just to ease everybody's...
It's still a short series.
It's still short.
You know, that's the thing. It's like every game, and it's so much easier to play from ahead. Then you put immediately the pressure on Chicago. They don't want to be down 2-0 going back home, because then it's like, you know, the Brewers will be playing with house money then in Chicago, and you know how baseball is. You know, you start gripping that bat a little bit tighter, and it makes it a lot more difficult. So game one tomorrow, if I was a betting man, I would say that would be the winner of tomorrow will win the series. Would you agree with that?
I wouldn't go that far. Just because I think Chicago can come back, and if the Milwaukee wins and wins that second game, they're still sitting pretty with those two games back at home. On the flip side, if Chicago does win, I don't think it's over. I mean, the Brewers have a good road record, and they've proved
that
they can
win. Actually, they're better on the road at home often this season.
Yeah, so I think that they have that. I will say is, for Milwaukee, if they can win that first game, they at least are setting themselves up for a good shot.
You're exactly right. Is there anybody in particular that you think that the Brewers need to have just have a huge series?
You know, the only thing I was thinking about this whole time was you got to have Freddie come out there and be the Cy Young guy that he is. You come out there and he only gets us three innings and he gives us two runs or something like that, we're in trouble. Because he's got to be the guy during this time, and he hasn't, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think he's won in the postseason yet. So this is the time that Freddie's got to go out there and give us. Look at that rookie last night for the Yankees. Eight innings.
I know.
8 innings, 10 strikeouts. He never had 10 strikeouts before.
You know, one thing that I actually noticed during this wild card, we're seeing pitchers go a little deeper. A number of these games, we had pitchers go, around 7 innings, and that's good. I it's just those these 5 innings and no runs that drive me up the wall. But no, I think we've seen maybe a little, at least with a number of the managers. Maybe it's because of the short series.
Three games in 3 days, so that's what they're going for.
Yeah, I think maybe as you get longer each round, it'll be a little bit differently. But Brewers or the Cubs, who's going to win?
We got to sit here. We got to be Homer. We got to go with it.
All right. We'll be back with Paul Miklik in about 20 minutes at 8:22 for our next segment of the WXCO Morning Report here on WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back, WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. Getting ready for the weekend, talking some Wisconsin sports with Paul Miklik. It is 8:23. Very nice start. And boy, all week long, it's been just incredible weather as we get into the month of October. Fair sky, 61 degrees is the temperature. Well, I'm glad to see you were calmed down, because you were not very happy on Sunday night. You weren't even happy early. I mean, you were unhappy the entire night watching the Packers in Dallas, weren't you?
Well, you know, after that 2-point conversion, you felt that that momentum and everything that you've done. You've dominated the game, and it's 13-2. You just went from a two touchdown lead to a touchdown and a field goal and a 2-point conversion, and this guy over here is making a jokes of it's going to be 50-2 instead of you were close with the 50. Unfortunately, they both had 40, and you can just see, something's not right. Something's just not right. And I don't know what it is. And again, I'm not in the
The thing about late in the first half, it kind of snowballed, because that was one thing. Okay, you had the blocked PAT return. That's bad enough. That's a 3-point swing right there. But then it's still 13-2. They get the football back around midfield. They have a chance to make it 20-2. And then they got kind of cute with their play calling and had a 3-and-out. And then all of a sudden they give up a touchdown. And then this inexplicably they gift Dallas the final touchdown in the first half, and you're down going into the intermission. It was a case of it was a clown show basically for the last part of the second quarter, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about that possession there. I think they actually am getting one first down. And then they end up and go back to like the 40-45 when they're doing that. And if you go down there and score and you're up 20-2, then again, now you're talking about three touchdowns that lead, and now you're feeling better. I thought live Evans was going to come over and make that play at the 1 yard line or whatever for their first touchdown, and Pickens makes the catch. It was a beautiful throw, a beautiful catch. It just, you thought that Evans was going to come over and you have to make that play. If you make that play or jar it loose or something, now they don't score as easy, then they maybe only get a field goal. Well, okay, so now they get a score, 13-9. You want to be aggressive. He wants to be aggressive, and he's got to be more aggressive. I don't think in that situation, because they were going to get the ball to start the second half, I was fine with the aggressiveness until they had an offsides. And when they went first and 15, and they at the 30 whatever it was a 30 some yard line with 19 seconds left, the odds of them getting a field goal were none. It had to be low, and just because of how things were going, you have to have a gut feeling like, hey, let's just take the lead going into halftime and just be happy with that and start the second half. So you're talking about you gave up basically 9 points in the first half. It should have been 14-7 at the best. It should have been 14-7 at the worst, I should say. Right.
Were you as shocked as I was? There was still a second to go on the clock on that last play of overtime. Watching that play develop,
I thought it was over.
I thought it was over too. I could not believe that the home clock keeper clicked it, because I'm thinking that is closer to 0.00 than it is to 0.99.
Yes. Yes.
You know, sometimes that's what in basketball games you see the tenth of a second. I would have been curious to see how many tenths of a second were left, because watching that clock, I was shocked it didn't go to zeros.
I thought they would have had a look at it again, and that was a whole nother thing. They had 4:40 left, and when they first got the ball,
there was
no sense of urgency, and I thought they practiced a 4-minute, that's not just a 2-minute warning drill. They do a 4-minute, and why weren't they not in that from the get go in that series? I don't know. The one good thing is I think we saw that Love is a pretty good player on there. That's for sure.
He proved you wrong. He said in the first half, "This is an average quarterback, average."
He was an average quarterback in the first half.
Real fast, Badgers in Michigan tomorrow. You have to see a response for Wisconsin after a bye week, right? I mean, even not wins and losses, but something that you can grab a hold of, because there was nothing to grab a hold of against Maryland, was there?
I hope that they can have something to hold on to.
They got to do something,
something to
get a little positivity, because otherwise it's starting to feel like a bit of a slog the rest of the season.
They have some games that they can be competitive in, I think, especially at home. And
we thought that about Maryland.
I know, and we got to give them the benefit of the doubt on that, but they have to show something. Otherwise, you got 2 weeks. You should maybe get some of these guys back healthy here and there, and there's no excuses, and just be competitive, because Michigan this could be a blowout if they let it quickly.
Yeah. All right, we got to wrap it up. Our number for the day quiz. Ian is 0-for-4 this week.
Yeah.
He was too busy last week. He had other things on his – you had other things that you were coming off a high.
But we got
to – after the Center Stage weekend, I'm still trying to reset my mind.
We've given you enough time to reset. It's time to start getting successful here. So let's do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, the Cubs and the Brewers play tomorrow, so we're going to give you a Cubs number for the day.
Okay.
How many World Series championships have the Chicago Cubs won? That is your number for the day. How many World Series championships have the Cubs won?
Okay, what are my choices?
Is the correct answer 1, 3, or 5?
How many World Series have the Chicago Cubs won? 1, 3, or 5? Okay, I'm going with my gut here. I'm going to say 1. 1 is my final answer.
Paul, what about you?
1.
The Cubs have won 3.
Oh,
1907, 1908, and 2016.
I guess my gut needs to be a reset as well.
I bet you downtown Ollie knew that one.
Gosh, my instincts are really off this week.
Well, we'll try again starting Monday.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a good weekend.
You too, Chad. Happy Friday, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend to you too, Paul Mickley.
You do. Everybody have a great weekend.
And stick around. An information update coming up, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.